Thank you for your prayers, and I look forward with a little bit of trepidation to this trip. It's going to be an interesting trip, going with people who I know quite well, but not ever so well, to people I don't know at all. But we prayed, and as leaders, we really feel it's good for me to go, and I'm really appreciative of Jackie releasing me and my family releasing me to go too. And hopefully next week I'll come back, or day after Sunday is, with some good reports. Okay, I want to speak today on a culture of honour. Or a culture of honour and respect, if you like. And I was just thinking, last year I began to dig a vegetable garden. Now, if Kim's around, he'd have a little chuckle at that, because he's seen this plot, which I've begun to dig over. It's just clay. And Kim said to me, he said, Neville, you know, the first thing that you need to do is sow potatoes. Yeah. My mum says potatoes are the thing that you need for this sort of plot. Potatoes and beans, they work in a plot like this. So, well, as I hadn't any idea what I was doing, really, I took him at his word, and I bought some potatoes, and he bought some beans, and we planted the potatoes, and we planted the beans. But I thought to myself, well, I want a few more things than potatoes and beans. I'd like some carrots. I'd like some onions. So I went out and bought some seeds, and I stuck them in this little plot that I dug over. And lo and behold, at the end of the season, I had lots of potatoes and lots of beans, but no onions. And no carrots, just little miserly little things you could hardly see. And I began to realize a spiritual truth. You see, the soil wasn't right. The environment wasn't right to grow carrots and onions or anything else for that matter in that particular plot. Potatoes and beans were fortunate. They seemed to thrive on clay. And they came up and we had a little harvest of potatoes and beans. But there's a spiritual principle, you see. Unless that environment is changed, which I'm trying to do, I'm never going to grow anything more than potatoes and beans, because it's not conducive to growth. And spiritually, if we're going to grow in God, we need to also have an environment, a spiritual environment, which is conducive to growth. And I think part of that environment is developing a culture of honour and respect. And that's why I want to just share a few thoughts on this subject today. We had Bill Johnson with us a few weeks ago, and some of us leaders were just sitting down before the conference started, and we had a meal with him. And he's been over to the UK on a number of occasions, and he said, whenever I come to the UK, I feel I always need to bring a message and preach on a culture of honour. Now, he didn't say why he felt that was important, but my guess is that as he's visited the UK, either he's seen or the Lord has shown him that actually we are not good at honour and respect. Outside in the world, we're not good at it, and I don't think we're very good at it either in the church. In some of the early G12 conferences which we attended, particularly in London, there was occasions when leaders and leaders of 12s and their churches were publicly honoured by the congregation which met in the conference. And for some reason, and I picked it up with people from LifeSpring, and I can't say I picked it up from anybody else, but for some reason, this caused a little bit of an offence. Why should they be honoured? Surely God's the one that's worthy of honour. These are mere men and women. And for some reason, we had a struggle to honour those who were being honoured at that particular time. And Pastor Caesar himself, I mean, I'm not aware of him ever asking or expecting any honour or applause or praise, but there's a desire in those which know him particularly well that they want to honour him for what he's done. And so when he would get up to speak, people would stand and applaud and thank God for the life of Pastor Caesar. And offence was sown. It was like we're not allowed to do that sort of thing in church and in our culture. And I wonder why we feel like that. Well, my suggestion is to you, because our culture, to a large extent, has forgotten the importance of honour and of giving honour. Actually, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And giving honor, as much as giving money, giving love, giving other things, can be a blessing to us as we choose to honor those whom the Lord is honoring. Marilyn and Glyn, Glyn has a... Are they around today? No, I think they're in Spain, aren't they? Glyn's got a brother who's married a Thai girl, a woman, and occasionally that Marilyn and Glyn have the opportunity to go over to Thailand. And Marilyn was just telling me the other day that whenever their sister-in-law, it will be, whenever their sister-in-law speaks about their king in Thailand, she always talks in such intimate and revered terms about their king. You're our king, etc., etc., etc. And on their special day, we do for our king. And it was like, this isn't how we think over here about royalty or those over us. It was like they'd seen something special. They revered the king of Thailand, the Thai people. In Colombia, they love their president. He comes to the conference every year, and the Colombian people make such a big thing of the fact that their president chooses to come and present himself and be among them for one of their sessions. They are incredibly honored because of the way they feel towards their president. Of course, Americans love everything American, but in so doing, they show honor and respect in their culture. They big up America. In the UK, it's different. And I don't think it's important what they do in Thailand to some extent, or America, or even in the UK. But what's important is the Kingdom of God culture. And the culture of the Kingdom of God is one of a culture of honor and respect. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we've got a slide or two. What is honor? This is a dictionary definition. Honor is high respect, glory, reputation, good name, high public esteem. And we are called to honor. To honor, we respect highly and we confer dignity upon. Now, I think some of you may already be feeling slightly uncomfortable, but that's what it is to honor a person. Not just God, but to honor a person we have high respect for. We publicly esteem them if it's done in a public setting. We confer dignity upon. Now, I want to suggest to you there's two levels of honor. And the first level of honor is that which I've just described, we should give to everyone. Honor and respect everyone. Treat everyone with dignity. Love the rich man and the poor man. Honor the children's worker and the pastor. Honor the man who's free and honor the man who's in prison. Honor the prostitute. Honor the judge. What am I saying? Well, all mankind is made in God's image and we all deserve respect, dignity, and honor. In fact, there are some people in society today which feel so bad about themselves, maybe they end up as a prostitute, or they end up homeless, or they end up here, or they end up there in such a bad way, and they have such low self-esteem, and much of that has come because of what they've received. And the church should somehow or another be able to honor and give dignity to people that in the natural you might feel don't deserve honor, but God's created them in his own image. And we need to learn to honor everybody. So that when folks come into the church, which aren't just like you and just like me, we honor them still. We used to have a guy come in. You mustn't call him a tramp because he was offended by that, but he looked like one, he smelt like one, he drank like one, and he lived like one. And he used to come into our church, and we actually asked him back for dinner on one occasion. Bob, do you remember Bob? You still see him around the town, actually. And he was honored to come back to our house for dinner because nobody else had asked him. We weren't the only church that he used to turn up with occasionally. But sometimes if Bob sat next to you, it was difficult. He needed a bath. You know, it smelled bad. Now, what would our response, what would our attitude, what would our reaction be to somebody like Bob? We need to honor them as the human being which God has made them. Now, he's messed up big time. He needs God. He needs saving. But he's still worthy of honor and respect from us. So I want to say there's that level where we honor everybody. 1 Peter 2:17 says this, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. But it starts off with honor everybody. Church, we need to honor everybody in this church. Honor people in your workplace. Honor people in your school. Show proper respect to them because they deserve it, because they're a human being. Romans 12 verse 10 says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. If you've got a nice seat and somebody else walks in, honoring one another means you give up your seat for them. If you've got, you know, we have to think of creative ways to honor above ourselves if we're going to develop and create a culture of honor here at LifeSpring. But I believe that's what God wants us to do because it will create that environment for growth and the blessing of God and the move of the Holy Spirit to continue among us. So church, honor one another above yourselves. But I want to talk about a second level of honor. And this is the level, I'm calling it special honor. Now, you might have a better word for it, but this is the phrase I'm using. And for some reason, this is what causes some people to struggle, but it's quite biblical too. We are all equal, we are all loved by God, but according to Scripture, some deserve special honor. We honor everybody, but for some, there's a place to give them a little bit more honor on occasions than we might give everybody all the time. Romans 13:7 says this, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, respect. If honor, then give them honor. There's a little if in this phrase. So there's times when if they deserve honor, we choose to give them honor. And some of those illustrations I mentioned earlier are of people that deserve honor, and therefore we choose to give them honor. If respect, give them respect. I was warned the other year, a couple of years or so ago, I'd heard that Sarah Burnham had got to Cambridge. Wow. I thought that was absolutely amazing. Now, I don't want to knock my family. Lisa's broken the ice. Lisa went to Brighton. We got to university. I've never been to university, and most of my nephews and nieces haven't been to university either. But Lisa's done it. Good old Lisa. But when I heard that Sarah had got to university, not just university, but to Cambridge, I thought, wow, I just want to tell everybody in the church that somebody from our church has got to Cambridge. And people said to me, but Neville, be very, very careful. What about those others which haven't got to Cambridge? You know, they might have just got to Reading or to Brighton or to Portsmouth or wherever it was. How do you think they'll feel? Well, I want to honour everybody who's got to university because I never made that. I think you're absolutely brilliant to have got there. But please, let me be able to say, but I want to give special honour to somebody that got to one of the best universities in the world without taking away anything from what other people have accomplished. Is that okay? I mean, I feel that should be how it is. Brilliant to get to Brighton, brilliant to get to Reading, even brillianter to get to Cambridge or Oxford, because it's one of those top universities in the world. Let's give honour to those who deserve honour. Philippians 2, verse 29. Welcome him in the Lord. Paul's talking about a guy called Epaphroditus, with great joy, and honour everyone. No, honour men like him. Paul here is picking on somebody who particularly deserves special honour. And if you look at that passage, you will see why he deserves special honour, for his love, the way he served the church, and everything else. So I'm just illustrating here, there are times when we honour everybody, because we're all human beings, and everybody deserves that. But there are times when we choose to give special honour as we create this culture of honour because some people, on some occasions, deserve to be recognised for who they are and for what they've done. Why is honour important. Why should we need to relearn the art of honoring? Number one, it's biblical. God expects us to give honor. It even requires it. We've looked at some of the texts and some of the verses already. Some of the prophets in the Old Testament, they speak against the people of Israel because they weren't giving God proper honor and respect. And there's words which denounce them for their attitude to God. You're just giving moldy offerings. You're just giving lambs which are already blemished and not worth anything to God. Give him your best because he's worthy of the best. They were dishonoring in the way which they were worshipping and bringing their sacrifices. So giving honor is biblical. Number two, it helps develop a good environment for the Holy Spirit to work in. We create that culture of honor, where we respect each other in the Lord for what they've done, for what they're doing. Everybody, it helps create that good environment for the Holy Spirit to work in. That's why in Redding, California, I believe one of the reasons they're seeing so many miracles, so much of what God's doing, because there's this culture there already. They're bigging each other up in the Lord. They're thankful for the headache which is healed as much as the cancer which is healed. It doesn't make any difference as far as they're concerned. It's all of God, and they just want to bless and honor what God's doing. Number three doesn't sound very spiritual. Why should we honor? It makes us feel good. And as I thought about it, I think it is important to feel good. You might not think it is, but when I feel naff and down, I don't feel like doing anything for God or the church or anybody else. I just feel bad. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I feel bad. But if I feel built up, if I feel encouraged, if I feel that people are receiving, if I feel that people are being blessed, if I feel I've got a contribution to make because I have whispers here about thank you for that, thank you for doing this, it makes me feel good. Makes me want to keep on going. Makes me want to bring more. So it makes us feel good, and we shouldn't be embarrassed about that either. The opposite is it makes us feel bad. It discourages us. And discouragement is one of the weapons of the enemy. If he can get us discouraged, we won't do anything for God. So we honor, we respect, we build people up. We recognize their value. And it helps us in our walk with God and in our calling, to fulfill our calling. Number four, we receive a reward. Is anybody agreeing with me? Number four, we receive a reward. Matthew 10, verse 41 says this: anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. What's the writer actually saying here? Let me just use the Amplified Bible, just develops it a little bit more. He who receives and welcomes and accepts a prophet, or he who receives, welcomes and accepts a righteous man, receives his reward. If we give honor, and we give honor by receiving, by welcoming, by accepting, we will receive the fruit of the ministry. Some of you may or may not like Benny Hinn. Here's on the God Channel. Some of us have seen him in other places from time to time. Some love him, some dislike him. A flamboyant tele-evangelist who personally I quite like. And I respect that man, because I think more than anybody else, there's probably more healings, more miracles happen in his ministry than anybody else I know in the world. I might not like his white suit. I might not like his hairstyle. I might not like his gold. I might not like the entourage that follows him around. I might not like lots of things, that the worship that he likes, although I do. I mean, I might not like any of these things. But actually, God doesn't seem to mind as much as I do or you do. And he chooses to use him. So Benny Hinn comes to Bogota when we were over there, and he preaches for Pastor Caesar at one of the churches there. Jackie and I were unable to make it. A number of our folks came back. Most of our folks came back. Oh, no, it was Benny Hinn. It was awful tonight. You should have seen this. You should have seen that. You should have seen the other. Do you know what they received from Benny Hinn? Nothing. church from Liverpool came back. Wow, it was Benny Hinn tonight. He was brilliant. It was this, that, the other. Do you know what? They came back built up. They came back really excited by what God had done. What's the difference? Somebody had not received the ministry for who he was, but had judged him in natural terms and just received a natural man's reward. But somebody else, other group there, judged him spiritually and received a spiritual reward. It happens here. It happens wherever you go. You get the reward you deserve by the way you honour, welcome, accept and receive the ministry that God's sending. You could come here one Sunday with critical thoughts, wrong attitudes. Don't like the worship, don't like the worship leader, too loud, too quiet, wrong songs, this, that and the other, arms folded, when's it going to end, you know, won't be long to go now, should have come for the later session. No. Do you know what? You will leave there and you'll receive nothing. Your thoughts will have been confirmed. It will just gone straight over your head because you didn't receive the anointing that God wanted to give you. Others of us may come hungry. They may come just wanting to give to God. They may not be their favourite worship leader up there, but they don't care anyhow because they've come to worship the Lord and not worship the worship leader. And they just want to join in with him and the band and give God the best. Do you know what? They go from this place blessed to their socks. They've received that reward because they've honoured the person that God's been using to lead them in worship. There's a principle here which we need to get hold of and not forget. If you want to receive a reward, honour the one that the Lord has sent to bring it. Another scripture, Matthew 13, verse 53. Jesus had finished these parables. He moved on from there. And coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this just the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. It's the same picture. It's the same story. Jesus turns up in his hometown. But that's Joseph's boy. He's a carpenter. We know who he is. Can't understand about the miracles because he's only Joseph's boy. We grew up with him. We went to school with him. He was on the same apprenticeship that we were at. We used to play football together. That's Joseph's boy. And do you know what they received? All that Joseph's boy could bring them. But if they had seen and received him as the Christ, if they had seen beyond Joseph's boy that this is the Son of God, this is the one sent by the Lord, then the miracles which they'd heard of in other places would also have happened in their hometown. And Jesus says, because of their familiarity, Jesus says, because you know, in his the only place a prophet's not received is in his hometown. And the reason is, I think, because of familiarity. We're just used to old Jim's Jim, isn't he? You know, John's John, Jeff's Jeff, Kate's Kate. You know, we don't give them any more credit, maybe, than these are voices used by God to speak into situations that we might receive and hear from them. We need to be careful because the people of Capernaum completely lost out because they didn't give honour to the one who to the Lord. It's all to do with an attitude, and it's all to do with an attitude of humility. Bill Johnson says, I remember reading or heard somewhere, he'd heard that John Wimber's granddaughter was in town. Bill Johnson's got one of the most well-known ministries at the moment in America. John Wimber was known 20 years ago for really, you know, high-profile ministry. When Bill Johnson heard that John Wimber's granddaughter was there, he went up to her, knelt down and said, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Can you just give me more of that anointing, that blessing, which will have flown through your grandfather, to your parents and to me? I just need more of God. Was that humility or what? Yeah, this was I don't even know how old she was, probably a teenager. But pray for me. There was a hunger, there was a desire. He was honouring the fathers of a movement and wanted to receive from them. We need that heart of humility, don't we? And not to judge on the outside, but to see from a spiritual point of view what God's doing. Okay. Who should we honour? Firstly, and most importantly, God. The church exists primarily to honour God and bring glory to the name of Jesus across this world. That is our sole motivation, to bring all the honour and glory to Jesus. He deserves the highest honour. He deserves the longest worship. He deserves the loudest applause. He deserves heartfelt obedience. He deserves a holy lifestyle because of who he is and because of what God's done, and because he's the one who's above every name. Everything we do, all the choices and decisions we make, should be to have God and the honour of God in mind. Who we marry, Lord, who do you want me to marry? Because I want to honour you. Where do you want me to work? Because I want to honour you. What do you want me to spend money on? Because I want to honour you. What films, can I watch this film? Can I watch that film? What films do I watch? Because I want to honour you. When I'm going out socially, how much do I eat? How much do I drink? What do we talk about? What's our conversation? I want to honour you. Not just in church, not just on Sunday mornings, but God needs to be the God of our workplace, the God of our family, the God of church, because he's worthy of all honour and glory and praise. Hallelujah. You know, I love the worship at LifeSpring because we make a lot of God. You know, you should be here at 10:15 really, because it gives you more time to make more of him. But I just love that worship because he's the reason we're here. He's the reason we're rejoicing. He's the reason that we want to come and be church together and to reach the lost and to make a difference because of God. No one can compare. No one is his equal. No name higher. All power, all authority, King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. We used to sing that song, Jesus shall take the highest honour. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all earth join heaven in exalting the name which is above all other names. Let's bow the knee in humble adoration. For at his name, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. He is Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now, for all honour and blessing and power belong to you. Amen. That's the motivation. That's where all honour starts. He is worthy of all our honour. Oh, is that the time? I've got two or three more things to say yet. He's worthy of all our honour. That's God in his greatness. Can I just throw a quick aside in here? I've been reading Evan Roberts' Diary of Revival recently. I love the Welsh Revival. The power of God. I just love reading about it. And somebody came up to Evan Roberts, who was the main character in this Welsh Revival, and she said to him, she said, I'm feeling cold, I'm not feeling hot by the Spirit of God, I'm not feeling the passion which you exhibit, this, that, and the other. And Evan Roberts said to her, have you offended the Holy Spirit? No, she said, not to my knowledge, I haven't offended the Holy Spirit. Well, actually, sometimes I feel I would like to ask the church to repeat a song which they've just sung, and I don't do it. That's it, he said. That's it. And when I read that, I thought, wow. In Evan Roberts' understanding, just that little bit of possible disobedience could affect the whole relationship and life that that young woman was having with the Holy Spirit. Because Evan Roberts was saying, his whole thing was, I'm led by the Spirit. Whatever he says, wherever he goes, whatever he does, that's what I do. And his meetings were wild because there was no... Well, there was order, but it was a God order. It wasn't like a heaven thing. He was just trying all the time to pick up what the Holy Spirit was saying and what the Holy Spirit was doing. And in 9 months, 100,000 people were won to the Lord in Wales. We need to learn to honour the Holy Spirit in every part of our life. When I read that, I thought, I want a deeper communion with you, Holy Spirit. I want to honour you in every area of my life. I Somebody told me I'm a type A. I think they're the sort of people that try to get to from A to B as quickly as they can. Don't like queuing, don't like this, don't like that. And that's me. You know, I went into town the other day, go to the bank, as quickly as I can to the bank. Got to go somewhere else, quickly to somewhere else. Back to the car as quickly as I can. And I thought, Neville, just slow down a bit. Maybe the Holy Spirit will have you speak to somebody, will have you see something. Maybe if you could just slow down a little bit, there'll be more opportunities. You say you don't have many opportunities to share the gospel or do anything or say anything. Well, maybe if you just slow down a little bit, Neville, you would. And I'm just trying to do that because I want to hear the Holy Spirit more. John says, hallelujah. I just want to be in a place where, because I'm not so focused on where I've got to go and what I've got to do, he might be able to speak to me more. And maybe I have more opportunities just to share the good news, just to be good, just to be kind, just to do something which I might not otherwise have done. So we honour God by our obedience to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to whiz through the next few points. We honour God, by the way, by our finances. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Bring your tithe to the Lord. First 10%, give it to him. Bring your offerings after that to the Lord. The whole, all of it is the Lord's anyhow. But we need to honour the Lord with our finances. I had more to say. I can't say much more about that right now. We honour, number two, we honour every person. We've touched on that already. We're looking for the gold. We're looking to build up. We're looking to encourage. We're honouring them for the gifts that they are, for the personalities which they have. Okay, we all need to change. We're not honouring them for the people they're going to be. We're honouring them for who they are now. And we bless them and honour them. And we look for the gold in each other. Number three, we need to honour the church. Speak well of the church. Jesus loves the church. And so should we. The local church is the hope of this world. There is no other answer. So I want to say, church, support, encourage, pray, play your part, love. Do what you can to make the church the hope of the world. The lost are waiting for the church. If the church in Reading could become the church that Jesus intends us to be, there'll be revival in this place. Hundreds, thousands of souls would be saved. The church is the hope of the world. So don't criticize the church. Don't knock down the church or its leaders or its members. Bless, encourage, build up the church. Jesus died for us that we might impact this world. We're not perfect, but God's glorious plan is sewn up and tied up in the likes of you and me. There is no plan B. This is plan A, and you're part of plan A. So let's not diss the church. Pray for the church. Build the church up. I'm not just talking LifeSpring, the church, you know, the people of God. When Bill Johnson, sorry, I'm running out of time. I won't talk about that. We'll do that another time. And I just want to close, I guess, really. I mean, the Bible also talks about honouring marriage, honouring our parents, honouring those who govern. I would add honouring older people in the church. I think older people generally, they all need to be honoured. I just want to close with a thought on the need to honour ministry and leadership too, in the church and outside the church. And I haven't got time to go into all that I wanted to say, but I just want to say here, you know, I honour Jim. Jim and Heather, you do a brilliant job. And they're doing what they're doing, whether I publicly say anything about them or not, or whether you say anything about them or not. Jim and Heather are doing a great job with some brilliant guys at Hope House. But it's easier for me to honour Jim and others which I see in the church, but I want to honour people who are doing stuff outside of the church too. And we need to learn to give value and honour to businessmen, to Mark, to John, to Richard, to others who are good businessmen and who are just seeking to run their businesses in ways which honour God and which serve the kingdom of God. There's others who, you know, if I mention too many, I'll be excluding some. I don't want to do that. But teachers at school, you know, you have such an amazing influence over so many younger people. We need to honour and pray for those who are out there who see teaching or business or whatever it might be as part of their calling. And this isn't like, well, I'm just doing this until I can become a pastor. This is what I'm called to do. And I want to bless and give and serve God in my teaching, in my accounting, in my business running or whatever it might be. We need to honor those people as well. And I want to say sorry because I think some people here may have felt undervalued by me because you're not having a cell, you're not leading a cell, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Well, I just want to bless you for what you are doing. And I want to honor you for the gifts which God has given you. And I would like us to find ways to, you know, we create a culture of honor where people feel worth and valued. Whether they're in my cell or not, whether they're in the worship band or not, whether they're involved in youth or not, because God is using them. And they've got unique callings and contributions to make in the church and outside the church. Some make money for the church and the kingdom of God. Some influence for the church and the kingdom of God. And they may not be able to attend cell as often as we'd like them to, but they've got a call on their lives. And somehow or another, we need to find a way to honor those who have leadership and ministry in the church as well as outside the church. I just want to close, because I've gone on far too long. We were in Sweden last weekend, and I was just touched by the... Jackie and I were invited by some pastors to go to a G12 conference, and we were so welcomed, it made us feel honoured. And we were living with a young couple who put us up for a couple of days. Now, they gave up their bedroom and their only bed in the house so that Jackie and I could have that bed for a couple of nights, and they slept on the settee in the lounge. We were honoured. We felt, I mean, they would have done that, whoever it was, and I think most of us would do too. But we felt honour. You felt good. And when we walked into the convention, big hugs, big embrace, so pleased to see you. Thank you so much for coming across to Sweden from the UK. You know, we don't deserve, you know, there's about 20 of us, but we don't deserve you to be here, but we're really appreciative. And we felt that honour and embrace. There was a culture of honour. And then Pastor Caesar was being introduced, and the pastor from the Swedish church, with tears in his eyes, he said, "Pastor Caesar, we are so thankful to God for you. We are so grateful for the ministry which you've got, you've brought to us. We love you. We love you. We love you so much. Whatever you say, we will do." They received the pastor. They received his reward. 2 or 3 years ago, this was a really successful businessman who's leading the church in Sweden now. He gave up everything, sold up everything, became a missionary, was invited back, took over from an old pastor who was dying of cancer, and just took up the church 2 years ago. And one of the first things Pastor Caesar challenged them about doing was hiring this massive, great big auditorium, which was way beyond their expectations, their finances, their abilities and anything. But do you know what? Rather than be like me, which would find a reason not to do it, they did it. They gave up holidays, they gave up this, they gave up that. They had 7,000 people turn up to hear the gospel from a church of probably, say, 700. 7,000 people turned up. And this church now is growing, and people are being saved every week in Sweden. So when their pastor says, "Pastor Caesar, what you say we'll do," they have said, "We receive you, pastor, as a father to us." And in so doing, they are receiving the reward. It's a challenge, isn't it? Even I found that hard to say. I thought, well, I'd just like to have the ability to say, "Yes, but." But somehow or another, we need to say, "Lord, we honor you. We honor your servants. We want to serve you. And we want to serve each other." Can we stand? Matt, can we just have a song to close? Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Just going to ask that we sing just a song of worship and honor to the one who's worthy of all honor and praise. And then before we go, if there's time, and there will be time. I mean, if you want prayer afterwards, please come for prayer. But before we go, I just wonder whether there's 3 or 4 people who would just like to come forward to publicly honour somebody here in the church. Just in a minute. Yeah, I don't want you to take a long time over it, tell them their whole life story. But there might be just two or three that would like to come and say, I want to honour so-and-so. And let's just publicly affirm and build up two or three people in the church. But don't just do it publicly. We need to do it. We need to gossip honour and gossip respect. And we just need to share that to help build and encourage each other. But we're just going to focus on the Lord for this song, and we'll do